exclamation or the question in close to where it's at, because it just makes more sense that way. Number 11. The three exclamation points in verse 1 of Lamentations chapter 1 denotes what? When you read that verse, what is it? When you see three exclamation points, what are you thinking? Yeah, I mean, shock, shock, shock. It's an indication of surprise or awe. A-W-E. Number 12. Who does most of the speaking in chapter 1? The city. Number 13. Excuse me. What does this tell you about the one who is talking? Well, yeah, that's for sure. Has a soul or a spirit, one or the other. I don't know which it is, but brother, when a city speaks, explains everything that's going on, there's something going on we don't know about. Number 14. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 through 45 shows that the land is going to enjoy its Sabbaths, and what you fill in the rest, either with the people or without the people, one way or the other. Number 15. What verses show that the land was to keep a Sabbath unto the Lord? A. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 24. B. 2 Chronicles 36, 21. Number 16. Did the Jews let the land enjoy her Sabbath? No. 2 Chronicles 36:21, Jeremiah 25:11. So they had two things going against them. They didn't let the land enjoy the Sabbath, and then they had all the sins and stuff going on against them. Did the Jews let the land enjoy her Sabbath? No, they didn't. 2 Chronicles 36:21, Jeremiah 25:11. Number 17. Can you tell us some places in the Bible where a city speaks? That means I want verses. There are four places for verses. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 61 through chapter 62, and Ezekiel 16. Number 18. The horn pictures what? Power, strength, and salvation. Number 19. A cloud pictures what? Judgment, pictures a curse, pictures the enemy, pictures the presence of the Lord. The picture's unanswered prayers. Five things: a curse, judgment, enemy, the presence of the Lord, and unanswered prayers. Number 20. What stops the men from attacking the Jews? Easy credit. The right hand of God. Remember, I told you. He removes his right hand, and they come in and take over. Number 21. List four verses that deal with cannibalism. A. Lamentations 2:20. B. Leviticus 26:29. C. Deuteronomy 28:53, and D, Jeremiah 19:9. Yes, sir. Number 22. Who is speaking in Lamentations chapter 1, 3 verse 1? Right. Who is the person speaking in Lamentations 3, verse 1? Yes, that's about the only thing we've come up with so far. A corporate group as a whole. Next, 23. What is the wrath of God? This will require an explanation. What it is this. God says, okay, I want you guys to do all this stuff here, this. I don't want you to do any of this stuff here. And if you do any of these things and things aren't taken care of, then these things are going to happen to you. And that's what the wrath of God is. Things God says are going to happen, and they come to pass when you do wrong. Now, the wrath of God, like I said before, it may be on you, but nothing's happening to you physically at that time, okay? You've just got the judgment passed upon you now. And in the Bible, I showed you about four different places where the people recognized that the wrath of God was on them because they had done something wrong and nothing been taken care of, but nothing was happening to them physically. They weren't being hurt or things like this, but they recognized the danger they were in. The wrath of God really was on them. They were in trouble. And that's the way an unsaved person is today. John 3 says that the wrath of God is on a person that's unsaved. And they may not believe the Bible's true or anything like that, but it doesn't make any difference. That wrath is on, and that judgment is just waiting to fall. And when it comes, then it'll be too late. Just like those Jews. The reason they were able to repent and turn around is because God gave them a whole bunch of time. He says, okay, he lets that wrath just pass. As soon as they commit sin, God lets the wrath go from the Bible and just set right on and say, it's just like a computer going above them on a screen. This is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But God gives the guy a chance to get out of it by repent and turn from his sins and get things right. Goes on, doesn't get it right. All of a sudden, everything falls in on him. And he gets all those things, or a lot of those things are written in the book. I'm sure not everything happens to everybody, amen? But everybody gets a piece of the action once that wrath starts falling on. It's just what, same with an unsaved person. They don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't want anything to do with it. You know, we know they're sinners, amen? God gives them all kinds of chances to repent and turn. They say, no. And just one day, heart quits and they end up in hell. Say, how did I get here? There's no intervening time in between, amen? I'm just here. I just got here. Why did they get there? How did they get to hell? Well, they got there because of that judgment, stuff like that. But the Bible, in my estimation, shows that... come up here, brother. Come up here. Right here. Yeah, come on up here. Hey, somebody's going to have some fun. You look like you need some fun, amen? Now, look here. Stand right here. Now, in Revelation, it talks about there's two things in hell. What are they? Two controlling forces. No. In hell. I mean, you know, we all know that's there, but there are two controlling forces. Yeah. No, you got death and hell. Okay? There are two spiritual compartments. And what I envision this is this. You have hell right here, okay? And it's a physical place in the center of the earth. And it's a place where people really go when they die. Now, that's a spiritual place. But inside that little spiritual place, there's another spiritual body. That's death. And what happens is this. Paul said, I was alive without the law once. But when sin came, I died. What happens, both child growing up, going along, no problems, then all of a sudden he gets some type of consciousness about sin and doing wrong, and that old hand out of hell reaches up and just something dies. inside, spiritually. And that hand of death has got a hold of that individual spiritually. And if that individual goes through life never having trusted Jesus Christ their Savior, when he dies, he just sucked right back down to hell with death, right through that body. We're a spiritual body, amen? Not a saved person's in a spiritual body. He just don't know it. He don't know how bad it really is. Because once the clicker stops, he goes. He's going quicker than he ever imagined. Okay, brother, you sit down. Look here. In Luke 16, the angels had to carry Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. Is that right? Sure they did. Well, how'd the rich man get there? He was there already, man. He's in a spiritual body. But see, the grim reaper is that guy, death, man, reaching right up out of hell and grabbing people. You sin, he's got you. Now, what God does, he just allows a person to live 40 or 50 years in that condition, and all the time trying to give him an opportunity to repent and turn from sins and trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Look here, when we die, where do we go? How do we get there? No. We're there already. We're there right now, amen? We're just here just like that. This body goes, I mean, it's just like a rubber band, amen? I'm here and I stretched a rubber band out there. Here's Cliff down here, right there, amen? And then as soon as that body goes, boom, he just goes right back. That's where we're at now, man. But you see, what's true for us is true for an unsaved person. Only they don't know it. Gentlemen, they don't know the grave danger they're in. If they could see that hoary hand reaching up out of the pit of hell and having a hold of their soul, if they could get a mirror and just see what's going on in their body, they'd die. It'd be a horror stories of horror stories. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you could picture, make a movie out of something like this, showing the spiritual side, and, you know, like them chick comics, they have the ones where the little imps from hell are laughing and stuff like this. They're always going around working the background. The regular people don't know what's going on. And if you could do something like that, show people what is happening spiritually, and show them how their life is really sunk unless they get saved, and really how they're just in a vacuum waiting to be sucked down into hell, and that this is a precarious position to be in, man. This life, anything can happen any time. And the devil, his main desire is to destroy. Amen? Look at here. When Lord Jesus Christ met the maniac Gadara, he cast out those devils, right? What did he cast them out into? The swine. What did the swine do? See? What was the devil trying to do in that maniac? You see? That's the main thing that the devil and the devils want. They're out to destroy people and kill them. So people who live on this life and they're unsaved, they don't know the great enemy they have, because poor old boy, he's just doing everything he can to ruin and wreck people's lives. But God miraculously, even though this judgment is passed upon people, death is reaching up out of hell, got a earnest of the inheritance, boy. He's got something on their lives. God still allows people to go through life and gives them all kinds of chances to be able to repent and get saved. And not only that, if they don't want to do that, then he uses them anyway. Amen? He uses them anyway for one purpose or another. We got on that somehow. How was that? Amen? How did we get on that? Oh, yeah, the wrath of God. Next, number 24. Could people repent of sins and thus have the wrath of God removed from them? Yes. 2 Kings 22:19. Josiah did it. Next, 2 Chronicles 12:7. Rehoboam did it. Next, 2 Chronicles 33:11-13. Manasseh did it. And 2 Chronicles 29:3-10, Hezekiah did it. So God gives people plenty of chances to escape His wrath. Sir? It is 2 Chronicles 12:7. And the last one. What can we tell about the man of Lamentations 3:1 who experienced the wrath of God? He says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. What can we say about this man right here in 3:1? Question 25. I know it's been a long morning, gentlemen, but this is easy credit, amen? It's not it, huh? Huh? No. He didn't repent. He would not have experienced the wrath of God if he had repented. Those people in hell today, gentlemen, and the people who go there in the future, the reason they end up there is because they haven't repented, because God's given them every opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If there's any hope in their heart, He'd get them the gospel and let them... Oh, man, He's probably giving people gospel over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, I sat in church and must have heard it over and over again. Don't even remember it, you know? I just tuned it right out. I didn't want that channel. And God, you can pick it up on radio, shortwave. There's hardly any place you can't pick up that gospel. God's given them every chance to repent, be able to turn and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hey, God's working. He never even used any of that stuff on me. He just used a book, you know. If you want it, I didn't even know I wanted it, amen. I'm not sure I did want it. I was concerned about some type of spiritual thing. When the truth hit me, what the truth was, I said, uh-oh, that is what I really need, you know? It illuminated me. So maybe not even people are even looking for it, but they just consider what's being said and make a decision. At least they'd have a chance, amen, to be saved. So all people in hell, they're there because they haven't repented, they haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, when they've had the opportunity. I remember when we were down the street passing out tracts, and it must have been 3 or 4 years ago. There was this guy, he used to have a box there on the corner down by one of the stores. He sold newspapers. What was that? Is that Lazarus down there? And this guy's name was Joe. And I got a radio that gets in TV reception, and I listen to the news, and something came on about him about the news. And I never went down to that corner, amen, before. So for some reason, we went down there to that corner and our last passed out tracks in front of that store because of rain or something like that. So I took a track and went over to that and I said, are you Joe? He says, yeah. I gave him a track and I felt like I was handing him a death warrant. I felt like, you know, this is your chance. I mean, I really felt like it. I felt like, this is your chance. I didn't say hardly anything to him. I said, are you Joe? I'd like for you to read this. And a few weeks later, I heard that he died. Some people broke into his house, robbed him, and killed him. So he had a chance, you see. But he may have just blew it. He may have just wadded up, threw it in the trash. I mean, I don't know what happened to him. He may be saved in heaven, amen. I have no idea what happened to him, but I felt like I was giving him a death warrant. And, pardon? It is, it really is. It's a testimony against them. They don't want to play a ball game. Amen. God's got everything already taken care of. He knows the hairs of your head, how many hairs are in your nostrils, how many hairs are in your... He knows everything. Amen. There ain't nothing you're going to get away from Him. So you're not going to trap God. He's too smart. And He's too loving. He's trying to give people a chance. The people who make it in hell, they just end up there all by themselves. Because God really does want to save people. And gentlemen, He really wants to use us to help these people, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He has a purpose for our lives. There's something you can be doing somehow. If it means going to work, leaving tracks on the cars just before you go in, or something like that. Somebody comes out, we'll read it. He can use this to be an well, to extend his mercy to people, that's for sure. Okay, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. How far did I get? Not very far, huh? I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, excuse me, and compassed me with gall and travail. Gall is bitterness. And they even say, I read an explanation, there's a tree where little balls grow, they get this gall off of. I don't know if I wrote that down. That must be I think it may be an oak tree. Six. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. It's almost like the person's locked up in a place where there's no light, amen? Isn't that what it seems like to you? You know, the angels in the book of Jude are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. It's almost like the same thing. Talking about some, pardon? Well, if it's a corporate body, it could be that wherever this corporate body is residing, where all these people that, brother, I don't know, it's too weird for me. My old boy, you try to explain that, you might as well shoot yourself. Whoa, boy, I could just hear somebody. Hey, play this tape. Listen to what he had to say about that, man. Well, if they don't kick him out, something's wrong. It's too... there's a word for it. It's too surrealistic for me. I don't... I'm sure there's good, concrete things that it's saying, amen, that really exist. But I don't know how to explain them or express them or understand them right now. What can you say? Some things you know, some things you don't know. This is one of them. But it implies he's just like not like that angels. This, like they're reserved under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. They're in chains. This implies that this being or entity is in the same condition. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. Now, let's turn to Ezekiel, find out what's there. Write down all these notes. Then you have to go find out what it is that you said. Ezekiel chapter 7. Verse 23. Ah. Okay, now we're talking about that, going back up to 7, about that chain. It says in Lamentations 3, 7, He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Ezekiel 7, 23 says this, Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the princes shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way. that this chain is just the destruction and the continuation of the judgment that's being brought against them. Look at here. Haven't you ever done something that was wrong and then started paying a price for it and then wouldn't get out of the price? Amen? I mean, you're chained. That's it. You're not getting out, at least not yet. That's about what it's like for these people here in the book of Lamentations. He hath made my chain heavy. So it implies that this is what's referring to, the judgment that's come upon them. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. Turn to Hosea 5. Hosea 5, 1 through 15 says, Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king. For judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth of Avon. After thee, O Benjamin, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Here it comes, the wrath. Pour it out like water would be a bad deal. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after commandment. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment. I wonder what that means. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jarb, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. So when he's talking about the Lord being to him as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places, it's just a picture of a wrath of God coming after these people and judgment being brought upon them. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow. He set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. See, I don't understand what that, I was a song to my people. It's talking about the people. How can it be a song about the people? You know what I mean? I was a song to my people all the day. If it's a corporate body, how can he make that reference to himself like that? I mean, I can understand and say, well, we went through this or we went through that and I've been through this. I can understand how you can go back and forth through the pronouns. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness, he hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones, he hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. But I'll tell you what, when you've forgotten prosperity, you're really in bad trouble. You really are. When you've forgotten how nice it was, you've been in trouble so long. Your mind's been changed. Did you listen to that one tape? By a woman named Rose, who was a missionary in the Philippines during World War II. It wasn't the Philippines. It was New Guinea. She was a missionary in New Guinea, and then the Japanese came and took over the island. Stuff like that. And it tells how she became a prisoner and what they did to her. I'm trying to think of her last name. But the Japanese really treated these people bad. They hardly had anything. And then they put her in prison, and they really starved this girl real bad. She got to the point where she was eating hairs and, whole works, man. Just anything she could put down herself. She was eating maggots, live maggots. She thought, they brought her something one day, water with some white stuff in it. She thought, boy, they knew that I liked rice, and somebody in there slipped me some rice. So she starts eating it up, and it's a little bit dark. And then as the day starts to dawn a little bit further, she realizes that she's not eating rice, it's maggots they put in there. And I guess there's all kinds of flies. But she got to the point where she said, oh Lord, she seen one of the guards eating a banana. She said, oh, if I could only have a banana. Oh Lord, that'd be just what I want, a banana. And then she got saying, said, oh, he can't get me no banana in here. Why am I doing this, And so she just went back in despair again, stuff like this. And she was transferred from one camp to another camp. And the person who was the camp commandant of the camp where she was transferred to came to visit her, and they opened up the door, and she was so hungry and so out of it that she didn't make the proper response. When one of those people came in, evidently she was supposed to be on the floor or bowing or doing something to him, and when they opened up the door, she saw who it was. She was so startled by who it was, she just started talking to him without doing all the other stuff. And then after the man left, she said, oh no, they're going to come back and beat the daylights out of me because I didn't do what I was supposed to do as far as bowing and showing them respect. These guys didn't play no games, man. They're mean. So a little bit after this guy left, she heard the boots of the guard coming back, and she said, oh man, this is it. I have had it. And the guard opens up the door and throws in a whole thing of bananas. What's that thing called? Yeah, well, I don't know, a whole bunch of them. I mean, she had 50-some bananas. And just that same day, she was saying, Lord couldn't get her one, amen? And she got 50 of them. But, pardon? Yeah, that's right, brother. Got them a whole bunch of bananas. But look here, when you've been down so low, you can't remember the good times or what good things were like. You've been through it. There's no doubt about that. I'd never like to be in that position, amen? Well, who would? I was someplace, where was I? Okay, thank you. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Now, it implies that, to some extent, rather, that he has hope because he remembers all these things he's going through, and maybe he's even remembering why he's going through them. Amen? And because of these things, maybe he has hope because there's some realization there that he's done wrong, and he's maybe acknowledged that to God and tried to get it right, and maybe still hoping in the mercy of God. And that's why you see such a big change coming up in 22. Now, from 22 to about 37, or a little bit further, this is about the only light at the end of the tunnel for these people here. And it's not only light, but it's like an indication of a second nature. Through chapters 1 and 2 and most of 3, well, up to 21, and then after this few passages we'll go through here, everything's bleak. But right here is the highlight, the light in this book. It shows that they have some type of hope toward God. Whoever it is has some type of hope toward God, even though everything's fell apart, even though they're going through things that are unbelievable. Look at here. Little Rife is going through a lot of stuff. You know that? 8 months he's been going. Isn't that how long it is? Yeah, eight months he's been going through this. His wife's incapacitated. He has to take care of her, try to see all these other things, take care of money problems, bill problems, go to work, take care of his daughter, take care of Nathan. Listen, it's been going on and on and on and on and on. And the prospects for things in the future are not good. This could be going on a real long time because she's not progressing as much as they were led to believe when she left the hospital. They thought within a couple months she'd be in a rehab unit there in the hospital and learn new things, getting muscle and strength back up and things like this. But today, she's hardly improved from what it was a month ago. I was with him the other day. He's going through a lot of problems. I mean, it's hard because you got all these responsibilities, things to take care of, and you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Amen? I mean, it's a real bad thing. But the thing he does have is he knows all things work together for good. Amen? And that's about like the passage here. Everything's falling apart for the individuals that are represented by what's being said in the passage. But there is some type of hope. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything fall apart. Because, you know, you could ever want, I mean, our country taken over by communism, you could all be thrown in jail and languishing there without food and warmth and stuff like this. But no matter how bad it is, there's something good in almost everything. I mean, people going to hell. Hey, it's good. Because we never have to put up with that stuff one of these days. Amen? And all things in the past will be forgotten. We won't remember the people who are there, anything like this. We'll just go on and enjoy life. The sin will be gotten rid of once and for all one of these days. So even in bad things, there are still some good things about it. You're right, he is something like that, twice given. But, you know, I'm sure he'd like the analogy to quit now, everything get back to normal. You know what I mean? And, you know, it only take grace of God for things to work out like that. At least she has hope. And she is doing much better than Tom's wife. You know what I mean? Because he had to teach her how to speak and do everything. And Glory, she has real good recall, good memory, and other things like that. So here's the light in the darkness. 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It says we're going through some bad stuff here, but God still is compassionate. I mean, it looks like the end for us, but we still have hope in God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's true. Every day God has some blessing for you. Amen? Amen. You can get up and you can see you're doing good. Here, that teeth, tongue, moving. Well, I tell you what, you're doing good. You get up, you got a blessing. I mean, so you got to go to work, amen? So you got an ugly wife. So you haven't got much food. I mean, so you got all these problems. Well, I tell you what, if you got good health, you got most problems licked. You can go through some things and slide by. But that's a big benefit right there. Look, yesterday, was it yesterday? Today is Saturday. It must have been yesterday. No, must have been day four. 2 days, real nice days out, amen? Yeah, it was day four, Thursday. Beautiful days out. I mean, you get up, just say, this is the day the Lord hath made, we'll rejoice and be glad in. Boy, I've just been alive. Just being out there, and there's something about spring and how it affects your skin and stuff like this to make you just ready, you know, to enjoy life. But I'll tell you what, just waking up, seeing the sun's a blessing. We're doing good. Them little things in life matter a whole bunch. Because one of these days, you'd get to the point where you wouldn't enjoy going out in the day and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be terrible? You just look at the things God made, and they're so wonderful. Just a joy to be here. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So you know the song came from that. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord our God. O Lord God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. And all that other stuff. Yeah, that's where it comes from. You see, a good song like that comes from a place where you'd never expect it to come. Just like it's in here, this good part is in here in relation to all that type of destruction. And there's a guy that sings a song, you know, Pacifier, he sings a song, Rejoice in the Lord. You ever heard that song? Isn't that good? He was able to make up that song because he lost an eye. And he talks about how he's afraid to go through it. You know, didn't know what it was going to be. And he was really afraid of the consequences of what was going to take place and stuff like this. Then he just had to rejoice in the Lord. And he made, and it's a real good song. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. Path that I take. Yeah, you see, that's a good song. That's a real good song, but came out of trouble. A lot of things come out of troubles, amen? It does purify you and refine you and helps define certain things about yourself. Look here, brother. Not married. Don't have all things you want. But you're being refined, amen? You're going to pick out finally what things are important to you. What things you want in life. Understand? You're going through a process. You just burn away some of the excess, get down to points where the values you have will be revealed. Or the values God wants you to have will be revealed. Wasn't he a wheelchair boy? I'll tell you what. Talk about trials and tribulations. This is no fun at all. I mean, zero fun. No fun at all. Brother, please, you find any fun in those crutches?
No.
No. You guys don't believe it, amen? You said that you think we have fun or we get by and stuff like this. No, every day it's bad. Every day. But through all this, I've been blessed more than I could ever imagine. I know I would never miss saved if I hadn't been put in this chair. And, well, who knows? What I could have been in prison, you know? The blessings, pardon? That's right, brother. I'll tell you the truth. It's right. So the blessings that have come through all this outweigh what I am going through. Believe me, completely. There are so many other benefits, it's almost astounding. But, you know, There are people who say like they lose their sight, then other aspects of their senses take over. They can hear better, smell better. There's something that makes up for it. Yes. And her work carries on today in how many songs? How many songs did she write? 500 or more? Well, yeah, gods and gods, that's right. And everybody still sings, her work continues on. And can't you imagine her being in heaven knowing that everybody's down here singing her songs, stuff like that, each Sunday and Wednesday night and through the week? Hey, I tell you what, that's a good deal there. And her songs are good, scriptural, sound. So you're right, what she went through came out a blessing. And, you know, it may be hard to look for the blessing when you're going through troubles, but about the only time you see them is when you look back after you're through them. You can see, well, boy, if that hadn't happened, something else could have happened, which, you know, you may have thought was worse. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Well, it looks like this guy may be waiting. He's not being quiet. Amen. He's telling everything went on. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. What do you think that means? What does it mean? Is it good to work when you're young? I mean, good to go through problems when you're young? What does it mean? Bear the yoke. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Maybe, that's for sure. Look at here, a guy comes out of school. They haven't got no more idea than man on the moon out of high school, what you should do, how you should do it. No impressions of what real life is like. Brother, it's a big air bubble. It just is busted once you start finding out how much things cost and how much time you have to invest in something. Find out you don't have all that free time to do everything you want to do. Boy, it really gets shot in the head quick. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. I don't know what those things mean. Anybody have any idea? He's not married, amen. What? Yeah, that's true. But you know, it's hard for anybody just to sit alone, not turn on the radio or not do anything. That's almost impossible. Haven't you ever, your wife ever went away, you've been alone? You got this overwhelming compulsion to call somebody on that phone. Don't you ever get like that? It's just almost something spiritual to it. I don't know what it is, brother. It's just hard being alone. I don't know why, but boy, it's not good. Yeah, that's right, brother. That's true. That's true. Hey, that's the exact truth, brother. I tell you what. My wife leave me, I had them two Doberman pinschers right up on the bed sleeping with me. Hey man, I'm going to make sure I get a good night's sleep. Anybody wants me, I have to go through lamb chops to get them. It's the truth. Yeah, there's two, man, if you're just a little kid around, you can go to sleep like a baby. But boy, I tell you, at night, I start hearing everything, and lock and load, man. Yeah, well, what you do is stay up and play a computer all night till you go to sleep. My hand clave to the paddle, amen. That's the truth, brother. I tell you what, play that, what game? It's called Oil Well. You ever played that game? I mean, first got that computer, played that Joker. Man, my hand will hardly get out of that position right there. It was just stuck there. And she went up to, thanks brother, she went up to Vermilion and was gone for a couple of days. But I tell you what, just something about being alone, it's not good. Is that right, brother? Yeah, amen. Is that right, brother? Something about being alone is not good? You gonna make plans to change that? Oh, here we go, folks. Here we go. I've heard everybody's trying to make plans for you. Yeah, that's right. That's right, brother. But there can hardly be a single guy in the church without somebody saying, "Hey, I think that would work," or "That would work." Everybody's got their own ideas, amen. You just have to quit encouraging them, brother. Yeah, you ain't. You got to quit showing up and they invite you over for meals and all this setup jobs, amen. Yeah, amen. Uh-oh, she next online? You better just cook, have them home-cooked meals yourself, amen? Yeah, amen, TV dinners. Okay. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be, there may be hope. I have no idea what it's referring to. But it looks like he's going through some type of humbling experience, that's for sure. He giveth his cheek to them, to him that smiteth him, he is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not, well, he's going through some type of humbling experience, real bad. No, it wasn't me. Solomon did that. He started out flat and ended up standing, as far as I know he did. In 1 Kings 6. I don't know. Well, it looks like he's gone through some type of reproach. Verse 31 says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." Now, whoever these being referred to, they still have some hope that God's not done with them yet. Even though the description they give is one of despair. It's like they have two natures, just like us. Amen? Outward part despairs, man, can't see anything. But then there's a glimmer of light in the spiritual man's side that says, "Oh, we can make it, amen." Or just go to Sleepy Town, wake up tomorrow and get a fresh start. You know, don't worry about it. No water? Pardon? Could be. 32. "But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth." Gentlemen, you ever consider yourself a prisoner? We are here, amen. We're prisoners. And we got a sentence to serve. And it could be good conditions or bad conditions, but we're not getting out of this. Hey, well, yeah, well, he was, yeah. But I'm saying we are bound here to this earth, amen. We're not going too many places further in this earth. We're prisoners here. We want to be, amen. We want to be here on the earth, but we're still prisoners. Maybe other things we could do. We're not going to be able to do them yet. "To turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not?" That's for sure. That's why, you know, if we get a bum for a present, or gave it to us, amen. I mean, I'd hate to see what we could get, some of it.